Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You love him? Nice to be back together once again. Thank you, musicians. Bless you. Brother Steve, Sister Elizabeth, God bless you. Nice to have you with us. We have one more day I want to spend on this, a new creation, and this would be part 15 in our series. It's important enough to that we could go on and on and on, because this is a new creation that we're speaking about. We're speaking about those that are born again of the Spirit in particular, and the world is not going to teach you about this. The Word of God is going to teach you. So, since it has to do with your identity, and since this is an age of identification, if we spend all of our time on it, that wouldn't be too much. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll read the first six verses. Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, so wise, able to reason, smart, shrewd, than any beast of the field. So don't get in your mind that there's a snake crawling in the grass and the snake all of a sudden stands up like a cobra and starts to talk. The serpent was a creature that was almost like a man, and it could reason, and it was so much like a man that it could actually intermingle its seed with the seed of man. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, now she's quoting the word back to him, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. That's what he said. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. So right away, he's coming against the word of God. He's disagreeing with the word of God. He's saying that God lied to you. God said that, but it's not true. And then he goes to explain God's reasoning for why he lied. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. They already were as gods. Knowing good and evil. Now that part was true. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, well, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So what I want you to notice here is that Satan was working on Eve's mind. Satan was reasoning with Eve. Satan had to condition her mind in order to receive this falsehood, to receive this lie. Satan had to get her to lower her guard, which the word was her protection, to step away from that, and had to condition her mind in order for her to then accept it. And so as he explains this to her, then we see, she says, and the woman, when the woman saw that it was good for food, so she meditated on it, thought about it, and then looked at what her eyes were telling her, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Well, there's a lot of things that are pleasing to the eyes that are not good for you. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh, so now we're being offered wisdom. God was trying to hold this back from you, but this wisdom would be a good thing. Well, then she took of the fruit thereof. So she accepted it in her mind and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So there's a conception that takes place in the mind first, right? And then there's a physical act that follows, but the conception has to take place actually in the heart, but it has to go through the mind before the actual will take place. I'd like to read also from Luke chapter 1. We'll read from verses 26 to 30. And we're going to see the very same situation, but with a positive and not a negative. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Notice that. Three things. Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So, once again, the mind has to be put in the right order. The mind has to be conditioned to receive a word that's going to come forth. And right now, her mind needs some conditioning. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Tells her that again. Then Mary said unto the angel, "Well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel said, "Well, too late. You missed out. You had your chance. Here you are questioning. I'm not spending any more time with you." No, the angel recognized that something needed to be dealt with. Her mind needed some conditioning in order to receive this word. The angel said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And Mary said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me." I accept this. "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So notice, he had to get her to the place where her mind finally said, "I accept this. Be it unto me." Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful to be gathered together again on this resurrection morning. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here, that are gathered here, Lord, to come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, those that are out sick, the prayer requests have already went forth, and I just want to unite my faith, Lord, with those prayers that have already went forth. And Lord, we're asking for quick healing and deliverance, and for you to bring them back amongst us once again. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing. Thank you for this opportunity once again to speak your word, Lord, to draw wisdom from you, to draw understanding, revelation, Lord, to see who we are in this age of identification, Lord, who we're not also. And Father, we just ask your blessings to be upon each and every one. And Father, reveal to us the word that we have need of this morning. And we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So we see that the mind has to be conditioned in order to receive the word that's already been spoken. So we're not waiting for a word to be spoken. The word's already been spoken. But our minds have to be conditioned in order to receive that word. We read last time out of Philippians, the second chapter, starting at the fifth verse, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death." And so as we looked at this, we the very mind of Christ is to be in his church, is to be in his bride body. You can't live any higher than you think. And our thoughts are not as high as his thoughts. So we need to have his actual thinking in us. Is that right? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we're looking at the character of the Lord Jesus last week, and we saw that his very character is what molds our character through trials and tests. And that character of Christ in us then molds the image of Christ in us and puts it on display in our lives. And we were looking at his divine nature and his character as it was lived out in the man with the one-piece robe as he walked on the earth. And we saw many instances of just how lovely and how marvelous and how divine his character is as it was put on display before us. And then we were challenged by a statement that Brother Branham made. We were challenged to look at ourselves and see what we see in ourselves. We look at him and his character, and then we look at ourselves, right? And when we look at ourselves, most often the first thing that comes out of our mouth is there isn't any way, shape, or form that a character like that will ever be on display in a person like me. I fall so short of that. Instead, I see so much imperfection. I see I'm so far from that. And it's a good start, actually, for us to recognize, as Paul said, that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. So to recognize that, well, that's the beginning of wisdom, of course. But we need to be careful to not take that too far and then say it's impossible for his character to ever be my character. It's impossible for me to ever reflect his image, in other words, here on the earth. It's good for us to recognize that God is so great and God is so wonderful and we are so little and there's no good thing in our flesh and we are so inadequate and so on and so forth. But at the same time, though we recognize the gap between the divine character and the human character, we need to also recognize that he's already made a way for that gap to be closed. Though we know it is absolutely impossible, without question, it's beyond our human ability to change our own character. It's beyond our human ability to manufacture a character within us that's like his character. And he has done the impossible, for with God all things are possible. He has done the impossible by providing a way for this transformation to take place in our lives. So God wants us to know that by his grace and by his word, he's made a way already for his character to be projected in us. And it's his desire for his image, once again, the image that was once in Adam and Eve before the fall, it's his desire for that image to once again be on display in his bride body here on the earth. And that character will then produce the type of thinking that we have, and the type of thinking that we will have will match his word. And we know that we can't just take his word and say, well, I'm going to try and do better, or the word says I should do this, or I'm going to try to be like his word says that I should be. We all know that that will never work. How do we know that? Because we all start out trying to be what he wants us to be. And then we see how we fall so short. Of course, the desire needs to be there to be like his word, to be like he says that we ought to be. So that's a good thing. And the faith to believe that there's a way that's provided for us, that also needs to be there so that we can say, be it unto me according to thy word. But as far as bringing it to pass, it won't be by us. It won't be by human might, it won't be by human power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. It's his work in you. As Paul said, it's not me that doeth the work, but it's Christ that's within me. So the part that we have to play in this is letting that character be in us by choice, because he's not going to force anything on us. And for that to take place, friends, God has to condition our minds first by his word to get us to accept and get us to believe that this is going to take place in our lives. No matter how far-fetched it might seem, no matter how far away it might seem. In other words, he has to catch our thinking and change our thinking and give us the right kind of thinking. His thought has to first be received in our minds before it can be conceived in our hearts and in our lives. Many times we get nervous and we struggle with whatever it is that we're faced with at the moment, and we just can't see a way past it. And the thoughts that we are thinking about, I'm never going to get past what this present trouble is. I just don't see a way, and it's never going to change. And as long as that remains our thought, that will be absolutely the truth. We will never get better. And when we ask for guidance and when we ask for prayer, we have to be presented first with a different thought. And then we have to be willing to lay aside that first thought that says there's no way in this particular situation that this is going to take place. Or there's no way that this can change. You see, there's already a word that has been spoken for whatever your situation might be. Whatever your problem is, whatever your issue is, whatever your need is, there's a word that's already been spoken. So we're not waiting on the word. What we're waiting on is for our mind to line up with the word. For our mind to come into a condition where our mind can accept that word and receive it, and for it to fall down into our heart and be quickened. So whether it be for healing, or whether it be for salvation, or whether it be for deliverance or comfort or provision or guidance, whatever it might be, the word has already been spoken. But for that word to be conceived in our lives, our thinking has to be conditioned to receive the word of promise. And the church says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So the right thinking towards his word is what brings the word to a conception in our lives. We have to have the right thinking. We can quote the word to one another until we're blue in the face. And nothing wrong with that. But unless there's a conditioning that takes place in our mind to receive that word will never become a reality in our lives. It'll become an I hope so, or a maybe, or a probability, or it'll work for others, but not for me. We can be under the best teaching. We can be in the right atmosphere. We can be in the most anointed service. But if our minds aren't conditioned to receive the word, it'll just go in one ear and out the other. And we'll go out the door and we'll say, yeah, I believe that what I heard this morning was the truth, but it just won't work in my situation. I've tried that, we'll say. And you will actually be worse off than you were before hearing the word. And it's because your mindset was not conditioned to where you could receive and then conceive that word. So we saw that Satan had to first work on Eve's thinking before he could get her to receive, and then to conceive first in her mind and then later in her body. Is that right? Now, friends, think about it for a moment. We're living in an age where they'll present the thought to you, well, how do you even know that you're a woman? There's a documentary that just came out here lately, and we don't bring politics in, but this is very relevant to the day that we're living in. It's a day of identification. And there's a documentary that came out where the man that made this documentary, he's just asking a simple question: what is a woman? And he's been shot down, he's been blackballed, and the media's against it, and everybody's trying to shut it down, and the richest man on the planet, Elon Musk, said, well, you know, that ought to be made available. So he made it available here on Twitter, I think yesterday or today, and it's already had 1 million views, whatever. But in that, the guy's just asking a question. He's not debating, he's not arguing. He's just simply asking the question, what is a woman? And the smartest people that he's interviewing can't tell him, can't explain it, right? Some of them will say, this interview is over. They won't even try. And they're educated. They're smart. Right? They're elitist in their thinking. And then he goes to Africa, to deepest dark Africa. Goes into one of the villages there and asks them. And they start laughing. Is that really a question? And they tell him, you know, there's great debate back in the U.S. And they're all struggling and they start giggling. Really? Is this a joke? Are you serious? Is that even a question? They could answer that question, right? But if Satan could get a woman to question whether or not she's a woman, see, he has to work on your thinking first. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the battle always is raging in the mind. So Satan knew that he had to condition Eve's thinking before he could get her to receive. Now notice he didn't go to Adam and, you know, tell him how to get impregnated. He came to Eve because she's the one that would get impregnated. So he had to condition her thinking before he could get her to receive and then conceive first in her mind and then later in her body. There was a barrier in Eve's mind that first had to be removed before she could receive that word from Satan. And that barrier is the Word of God. And that barrier, the Word of God, it was a gate in front of her mind, if you will. And the gate had to come open. The gate had to be pushed aside. So before Satan got her to lower that barrier, she had never had a bad thought. Think about it, friends. Her mind had never been a battleground where bad thoughts and good thoughts met together and clashed. No, her thoughts were good. Her thoughts were pure. She had never had a bad thought. She didn't know what unbelief was. She didn't know what doubt was. She had never experienced fear. She had never had a bad dream or nightmare. She had never experienced anxiousness or confusion. She didn't know what worry was or indecision. She didn't play the eeny, meeny, miny, mo game. She had never experienced what we used to call at work analysis paralysis. Analysis paralysis, it was usually some of our smartest guys. And they'd say, on this hand, this, but on the other hand, that, but then on the left foot, this, and then, and just back and forth, never coming to a decision. Just paralyzed by all the different factors and never being able to come to a decision. And we just have to tell them, all right, make a decision. We got to move on. She had never questioned anything that God had said. And the idea of questioning what God said had never even occurred to her. You know, sometimes we'll get a thought, we'll get an idea, we get maybe a vision of something that we want to do as human beings, and sometimes it's inspired, perhaps, and then we begin to share it, and our hearts are just overflowing and bubbling, and we begin to share it with others, and they say, well, what about this, and what about that, and what about this, and what about that, and sometimes that's a good thing, right? But sometimes it'll just shut that right on down and it'll just take that inspiration right away from you, right? Especially if it's doubting, questioning. So she had never questioned anything that God had said, and the idea of questioning him never occurred to her. The whole holy image of God was on display in Adam and Eve. The character of Christ was in Adam. Now, not in the measure that it was in Christ Jesus, because we know that he was the attribute of the fullness of God. We knew that everything that he had was without measure. So the character of Christ was without measure in the man Jesus. And none of us will ever have the full measure of the character of Christ in us. We will have, he had long suffering without measure, for instance. He had faith without measure. He had temperance without measure. So on and so forth. We will never be like him in measure. But in quality of the characteristics, we must be like him. We must have that very same nature, very same attributes, the very same image. So if you have the Holy Ghost, well, then you have the divine characteristic of Christ, because Christ is the Holy Ghost. And it must grow, and it must develop, and it must mature in you. And that's the point that we've been trying to make for the last few services. And we just want to drive that home again this morning and perhaps again this evening. It's a process, right? When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't get up and then all of a sudden you've got temperance and patience. It is in you, potentially, but it's got to grow. It's got to mature. It's got to come into manifestation, right? And the more that you are willing to let God mold you, the more the character can be reflected in you. But no matter how real it might be in you, until your mind has been conditioned for conception, it'll go in one ear and out the other. Satan will tell you, well, it can't happen to you. Preaching works on your mind to condition your mind to receive the word. And that's one of the reasons why we need Holy Ghost-filled preaching of the word, and we need to hear it. We need to come and hear it. Because if it's just the word that we need, friends, we could all just stay home and read our Bibles, couldn't we? Because we all have the word. And I trust that we'll do that also. But in order for the right word and the right season to be conceived in our lives, our minds have to be conditioned first to receive that word. And much of the time, the preaching of the word is helping you to do battle with the mind battle. It's helping you to cast down everything that comes into opposition of the word of God. Cast down reasoning and imaginations and thoughts and memories and all of those things that oppose the word of God in your life. And we are going to conceive his word or Satan's word every time. Every time that we come to hear the word, we're going to walk out conceiving one or the other. We will either receive the impossibility of that word ever being true in our lives, or we will receive the blessed assurance that that word will be conceived and it will be manifested in our lives. Come what may. Two forces are present in every service. Satan never misses a service. He's very faithful. Two forces, and God never misses one either. He said, where two or more are gathered, there I'll be in your midst. So two forces are present in every service, and both of them are trying to work on your mind to get you to conceive that word. Listen to this from the Mark of the Beast. He says, the heart is a womb, and faith cometh by an open ear that's not been sealed by theology. Your mind becomes sealed with theology. Well, the church says this, or I believe that, or I was taught this or that, and that just settles it. I don't want to talk about it. The heart is a womb, and faith cometh by an open ear that's not been sealed by theology. Faith cometh by hearing, to hear. The word comes into the mind, and you make up your mind about it. Is that right? Could that be right? Well, the Bible said so. I believe it. Whew, he says. Down into the heart it goes. So it has to get past the gate of the mind. And the mind has to be conditioned in order to receive it. For instance, you might have been sitting here and you might have been hearing for, you know, the last several services that God wants you to have his character. God wants you to have this. God wants you to have that. And in your mind, you might be thinking, but I was born in sin. Yeah. And I have my ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And I tend to be on the negative side of things. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to be this and I've tried to be that, but it doesn't seem to work for me. I got this thing from my dad, or I got this thing from my mom or my grandpa. It came through the genetics, and I will never get past that thing. And so you sit there and you ask yourself over and over and over, how can these things be? Not how can they be at all, but how can they be for me? And you say to yourself, but I've never been able to do that before. That's a good thing. Because if you could, you'd be self-righteous. I could never I have never been able to do that before. No, and you never will be. I don't have the ability in me. Quit looking at yourself. There's this barrier. There's that barrier. There's this reason. There's that reason. Like Mary, as we pointed out, who started out by saying, well, you know, I've never been with a man. Can't happen. The mind is saying, this can't happen. Because I haven't been with a man. How am I going to conceive? Or Sarah saying, me, an old woman, when I was young, I couldn't conceive. I was barren when I was young. There was nothing wrong with my husband. It was proven when I gave him my concubine and she brought forth a child. So the problem wasn't in him. It's in me. Even in my prime, I couldn't produce. And now I'm an old woman. You know, I'm past the cycles that women go through. It's completely impossible. How am I going to conceive? Those thoughts and those questions are barriers in the mind to the Word. And they must be addressed. Not overlooked, not pushed away. Sometimes we think, okay, I don't even want to think those thoughts because those aren't the right kind of thoughts. But if that's down in your subconscious, you've got to deal with it. This isn't mind over matter. This is getting your mind aligned with the Word of God and it will become matter. So that word that's coming to you is it's a blood cell from the male that is trying to get past the barrier in the mind and quicken that seed in the womb of the heart so that it can bring forth. And if that word can ever get past that barrier, friends, and say, I don't know how, I don't know when, all I know is that God's word is going to take place in my life. He said it, I believe it, it's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to get better. The doctor just told me, I don't see a cure. I don't see any way. There's no solution. That's what the doctor says. Well, bless you, doctor. I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you for all that you've done. But he told me something different. So I'm going to take Dr. Jesus at his word. And I'm not going to meditate on what you're telling me. I'm going to meditate on what God's word is telling me. He says, whew, down into the heart it goes. What happened? That word went down into the heart. Then it's a womb. Then the male sex, which we are the bride, the woman, the seed goes into the church. Notice this. The church is the bride. Not what does she think she is? Or how do you know that she's the bride? Can you... How are we even having this conversation? It's crazy. We understand, friends, that there are anomalies in nature. The term that used to be used is that somebody could be a hermaphrodite. They could be born with both possibilities. And then later on they began to realize, well, no, that word hermaphrodite doesn't really apply and it shouldn't be used because a hermaphrodite in nature... A lot of plants are hermaphrodite, and some species of animals and insects are also. And what it means is that they can produce both the egg and the germ. They can produce both, right? So the terminology that they've come up with is intersex is what they call it. And then there's debate about whether it's a mistake or a disability or if it's actually an option. You know, and so children can be born sometimes with ambiguous equipment, if you will. They can be born with, you know, we've got 46 chromosomes. We get 23 from mom, 23 from dad. And if there's a Y chromosome in there, it's a male. If it's an X chromosome that comes from daddy, then it's a female because the mother's always got an X to contribute to it. There are cases where they'll have two X's and a Y, or three X's, right? But most sane biologists recognize that regardless of that, if there's a Y chromosome there, it's a male. And there are cases where the anatomy can be underdeveloped or duplicated or ambiguous, but the chromosome determines that. If there's a Y chromosome, then it's a male, right? And the percentages of this taking place is like 0.02%. Not 1%, 0.02, right? So tell me why we have to have a Pride Month. I mean, just the word, just the fact that they're using pride. Pride comes before the fall. Why would we want to emphasize that? Why do we have to set aside the whole month of June for 0.02% of 1% of the population that needs to be dealt with? And there's a scientific way to deal with that. Well, that's not the agenda. The agenda is to get six-year-olds, eight-year-olds to question, regardless of anatomy, regardless of chromosomes, and to make life-changing changes to their body before they've even come to puberty. Because there are demons that want to tell you that you're a this or you're a that, right? And trying to break up what God shows in all of nature, try to go against nature even, bring this perversion in, break up the home, break up everything. It's insanity. Well, these things happen every now and then. Yeah, 0.02% of the time. There's a lot of things that happen in nature that are 0.2% of the time, or 0.02%, right? I don't know, pick one. Sickle cell anemia. I don't know what the numbers are for that, but let's say that it's a small percentage. Do we need to have a whole month where we talk about that? And shove it into everybody's face? And then make it an opinion? I mean, that's... Why is it even something to discuss? It's insanity. But what Satan is doing, oh, he's shrewd, friends. He's the wise old serpent now. What's worked for him before still works for him today. Right? What he's doing is he's trying to condition your mind to receive a lie. And if he can get you to receive that, what's next? This guy that was interviewing people talked to this one woman and tried to get her to, explain to him what a woman was. And she says, well, first of all, I'm a cat. He's like, I'm done. I think you need some psychotherapy. Down into the heart it goes. What happened? The word went down into the heart. Then it's a womb. Then the male sex. We are the bride, the woman. The seed goes into the church. Then the male sex, so the seed is the word, then the male sex, which is the blood cell, the blood of Christ is applied, and the blood comes, the germ of life that goes into the seed, and it brings forth. So what is it? It's conditioning your mind for a conception. So when we're hearing the word of God, friends, God is trying to catch our thinking and change our thinking. The battle is taking place in the mind. And we are all, as we looked at services before in the same series, we are all born on the negative side of life, heading towards the positive. So God wants to catch our thinking. We ponder over it, and God works on our mind to get us to receive that word that he's promised to us. And then that womb of the heart reaches up to the mind and pulls that word into the heart, and then the Spirit comes to quicken it, and conception begins. The heart says, yes, it's true. Friends, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, your heart will never say anything but, it's true. That ain't nothing but the truth. Your heart is now a virgin to the Word. You've been born again. There's no doubt in the heart. No doubt in that soul. You believe. But it's that gate that's got to come open to allow that Word to come down into the soul. So the heart says, yes, it's true. Yes, it's for me. Yes, God said I can have it. And then it pulls it down, in that word down into the heart, and the Spirit quickens it, and conception begins. It lays there as a seed. And then the life that was in that blood cell, the Holy Spirit, it finds its way into that seed and conception takes place. This is the law of God, friends. I'm so thankful for His laws because His laws don't care who you are. His laws are not dependent on whether I feel up or down or whether I feel positive, whether I feel like God is mad at me or happy with me. It doesn't matter. It's a law. These are laws. It works the same way in the natural. And we find many times that even in the natural, a potential mother has to have the right thinking in order to conceive in the natural. And when that conception takes place, nothing happens immediately that we can see or feel. And even when something does take place, something that we can see, some kind of evidence, well, it still takes 9 months for a full-term baby to come forth. It's a process. Are you with me? So the Spirit quickens the word in the heart. But many times, friends, we want to look for some sort of immediate evidence. You know, a seed has been planted in the ground. You're starting a garden. You prepare the ground. You get rid of the weeds. You break up the ground. You make sure it's got the right kind of nutrients in it, perhaps. And you put the seed in there. You pat it down. Then you water it. Sun comes across it. You don't dig it up. You don't look for some kind of evidence. You just believe, well, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I received it in the right kind of ground and moisture has come. The sun is there. I'm just going to commit this. I'm not going to dig it up every day to see. If you do, you'll kill it. So many times there's nothing we can see or feel when that conception takes place. But the Spirit is in the natural. That seed has been, that egg has been fertilized. In the spiritual realm, the Spirit quickens that word in the heart. But then we want to look for some kind of evidence. Immediate evidence. And I see it all the time, friends, when we pray for needs of different ones. I mean, not everyone, but it happens frequently, different ones. And after we pray, well, then the mind searches for some sort of evidence to confirm what has taken place. But there's no sensation that comes with the quickening of that word. Or we'll make up our mind that we're going to be the very character of God, and then we go out the doors and we expect tomorrow to see every attribute of His character to be on display in every situation in our lives. And when it doesn't happen, because it won't, immediately. We want presto. We want a magic wand to be waved over us. And we want instant results. Well, that might work with instant oats or instant Pop-Tarts or fast food, but it doesn't work that way with the Word of God. Listen, friends, I believe in miracles. And I've seen miracles, and I expect to see more miracles. But most of the things that were promised to us in the Word of God, they involve processes that begin to work right away, but they take time to fully develop. And that's how it is with healing. Healing isn't a miracle. It's a process. To me, healing is greater than a miracle because you've got to stand when there's no evidence. A miracle, how could you refute that? So with healing, it's a process, and so is it with character development. Every one of us, we grow and we mature. We're changed from glory to glory. We only believe, and then the Holy Spirit causes us to conceive, and then it must grow. But it's a process. So it's not up to us to determine whether it takes 5 seconds or 40 years. It's up to us to believe and then wait upon the process, believing that the process has started. Give the word time to conceive. Give the word time to grow. Give the word time to develop and feed it. Amen. Don't get me wrong, friends. There are some things that will take place right away, of course. But it's not up to us to determine that. It, for instance, if you put in the Lord, if you put the Lord first in your life, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, well, then all these other things will be added unto you. God knows what your necessities are. God knows what your day-to-day needs are. He said, you know, look what I did for the sparrow, and look what I did for this one and that one. Don't you think I could take care of you too? So we don't have to fret or worry, but we do need to ask. We do need to bring it before Him. So let's say you put the Lord first, and you're seeking Him and His righteousness first, of course, and you need a job. Well, He promised to add all those other things to you, so I don't expect it to take 40 years for you to get a job. Right? I expect that prayer will be answered shortly. But when it comes to character, that's a lifelong process. Even our Lord Jesus, Paul said He learned obedience through suffering. That's a process. And it might involve God bringing our attention sometimes to impatience in our life so that we'll cry out for patience, and that will take time. Or then we might realize that, you know, brotherly kindness is in short supply, and so we cry out for that. But one thing that we know, friends, we will not see gentleness and meekness and long-suffering and patience and all of that on full display on day one. From glory to glory, He's changing me, changing me, changing me. His likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. Somebody told me here just the other evening that when we prayed, there was a prayer, a need for the eyes. There was a problem with the eyes. I don't have to know what the problem is. I don't have to be able to pronounce the scientific names. God knows. He's the healer. We're not the ones that are doing any healing. We're just obeying the word. So a person told me they were prayed for, but then the eyes... So immediately nothing happened, but then the eyes steadily started getting better over time, weeks maybe, but it took place, right? Well, that's how it's supposed to be. Again, from door to the heart, thou said in thy word, if you'll say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said is being done, well, then you can have what you said. Did Jesus say that? Yes, being done, this mountain be moved. Maybe just so you believe it, you accept it. He says, maybe just one little grain of sand would drop when we set it for it to move, but it's on its way. Maybe tomorrow a spoonful will drop. Come on. But it's still on its way. It's never noticeable. Tons may fall, and it's still not noticeable, but one day it shall be flat. Because we have said it, and Jesus gave the promise. But you've got to hold on to that. You've got to believe it. You can't base it on what you see or what you hear, but Satan will talk you out of anything. Your mind must be conditioned, and it must be settled, so that word can come in, and then the mind's done with it. The battle's over. Now you're just holding on. So God told us in His Word, friends, that we could have what we ask for when we believe what we ask for. And He told us if you have a need, in one place He says, well, have the elders pray, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and so forth. But He told us that we must believe. And so we come up and we ask for prayer for a certain thing, and if we aren't sure that He promised us what we're asking for, well, then we're doubting, and the word won't conceive. If we question whether or not the prayer of faith, the person that was praying for us, whether that prayer of faith was effective, that word will not conceive, because we're doubting what we just did. And if we know that it is in His word, and our mind has not been conditioned to believe that it's for us, well, the word won't conceive. But when the mind has been conditioned to receive that word and to believe that word of promise, well, then something's going to begin to take place. Amen. Guaranteed. Amen. A mother-to-be, she might go she might conceive and then she might go, I don't know, a month or so and not notice anything different. And then one morning, the thought of eating eggs might make her sick, and she finds herself in the bathroom and saying, I don't feel so good this morning. Husband hears the dry heaves, and the husband starts having some dry heaves. Sometimes, when you conceive the word, it'll make you sick. Come on, friends. Sometimes you get worse instead of getting better. One thing is for sure, though. When a mother conceives, it changes her life. Everything about her life changes. It changes how they eat. It changes where they go. It changes how they walk. It changes what they do, what they don't do. It changes what they wear, what they crave for. It changes the shape of their bodies, whether they want it to or not. It changes their hormones. It affects their emotions. You will wear clothes after you conceive that you have never worn before. And that you said, I will never wear clothes like these. Well, you've never conceived before. Why? It's the child being formed in you that's causing you to change the way that you dress. And that's why we've been emphasizing so much not getting the cart before the horse, not trying to be a Christian, but let God change you. Let something be born in you. And what's in you will begin to cry out. What's in you will begin to change you, begin to form you, will begin to mold you, will begin to call out for the things that you have, that it has need of. Why is it? Because there's a child that's being formed in you, and it's causing you to change the way you dress. It causes the mother to change the way she dresses. You'll have an appetite for whatever the baby inside of you has need of. The same thing is true, friends. If Christ is being formed in you, the Son of God, you'll have an appetite for things in the Word. And that desire will come to you because the baby is calling out for it, if you will. That life that is in you will call out for what is needful for that life to grow and develop and come to maturity. And it will cause your body to respond to the needs of the baby. And the church says, so is it with the Holy Ghost, friends. People will say, you know what? I could never dress that way. I could never act that way. I could never look that way. Well, just get born again by conception of the Word, and you'll be surprised what you'll do and what you won't do. Why? Because another person is growing in you. Another person is maturing on the inside of you and has desires and needs and will draw it to that inner being. That person will even make you do some things that you hate. Will make you do things that you're uncomfortable doing. If you've offended somebody and you have trouble saying you're sorry, well, you're going to do it anyway. Because what's in you won't rest until you do it. It's a process. It takes time. But what He started, He will finish. It's His work, not ours. The character is our victory. It's not a gift. It comes from the battles, the tests, and the trials of our faith. But He's doing that work. And He said, I won't put anything more on you than you can bear. So whatever comes our way, it's for a purpose. And friends, instead of having a meltdown every time things, we question things, we wonder, we let our pride get in the way. Well, how could this ever happen to me? Get over yourself. And realize that God is completely in control. You're either going to trust Him completely with your life, or you're going to question along the way, which means you think you're still in control. If He's in control, He's going to work it out. If He's in control, there's a purpose for it. There's a reason for it. And we may not know what that purpose or reason is, or we might be able to find out if we just ask Him. We humble ourselves and get on our face before Him and ask Him. But the thing is, He's going to bring it through it, and it's not an accident that it's happening to you. It's for a purpose. He knows what He's doing. He knows how to bring us forth. He knows how to bring us to maturity. Come on, church. It's a process. It takes time. So after hearing this series, on the new creation, you'll say, yeah, yeah, that's me. And you'll walk out the doors, and the first thing you know, you'll fall flat on your face. And you'll have to get right back up. And you'll think sometimes, this is taking forever. When is this ever going to happen? When will I see all of this in my life, in every part of my life? It's a process. But the process has started, and it will take time. And each of us as individuals will grow at different rates. So recognize, friends, that you have pulled that word, that life that's down on the inside of you that's been quickened by the Holy Ghost, has pulled that word down into your heart, and then the Holy Spirit has come to quicken that word that's down in your heart, and a process has begun. Christ is being formed in you, the hope of glory. The promised seed son is being formed in you. And over time, that word in you, it will begin to make your body obey that word as the character of Christ molds your thinking. Now that the seed word has been conceived in you, you now have a daily responsibility to feed that conception. You won't grow if you don't feed it. You must. Brother Branham said a Christian reads his Bible and prays every day. He said he has to. And as we read here the other day, he said, as we see that time approaching, which we certainly do, he says, pray every hour. That means pray without ceasing. That means have God on your mind all the time. Walk with him, talk with him. So you read his word and you say, Lord, I believe your promises. And I believe you've given me those promises. And then you feed that conception that has taken place on the inside of you. You say, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I am a child of God. I was made in his very image. His will be reflected in me. His image will be on display in my life. Within me is the life of an overcomer. He put it there. I believe it. That settles it. I have been conceived by the Holy Spirit in this age to manifest a character and to give preeminence to his mind in my body and in my life. I am growing. I am changing daily from one day to the next. Even my very body will be changed from one moment in time. It will be changed from mortal to immortal. It won't be by herbs, it won't be by oils, it won't be by pills or surgical procedures. It won't be by diet, it won't be by exercise, it won't be by sheer willpower. What's growing in me, friends, will come to maturity. And then a body change will take place when he quickens that faith that's already in me. All at once, universally, in one body, he quickens it. Says, now is the time. Now is that final change. That's what his word declares. I believe it. I'm not reasoning with it. I'm not going to discuss it. I just believe it. And it's going to take place. You want me to prove it? Just stick around. Hallelujah. Spoken word, he says, what is it? The mind is the womb for the spirit. To take it in or let it out. And that's how they commit adultery, is taking, let some Satan devil spirit put in them something that's against the word of God. Well, then she's committed adultery. So when you take in a lie of the devil against the word of God, you're committing spiritual adultery. When we come to a service, Satan comes to every service too. And what does he do, friends? He sees you listening to that word as it goes forth. And he says, okay, I'm going to try to get you to commit adultery against that very word, but I want to get you to do it in your mind. Satan will say to you, surely that won't work for you. Oh, it might work for this one or that one, but not you. You know, how many times have you tried that? And how many times have you failed to see that promise come to pass in your life? You know, that just won't work for you. You're an exception. You're a misfit. I sure am, but I'm a misfit to the world. But I fit somewhere. He's going to try to get you to commit adultery in your thinking. He will start in the mind, same thing God does. God starts with the mind, and then he will condition your mind for a conception of his laws. But God is conditioning your mind at the same time for a conception of his word. And that's why we spent so much time here lately talking about thinking good thoughts and positive thoughts and casting down and recognizing the Holy Spirit is never negative. It's always positive. Cast those things down because those are things that are conditioning your mind, not down in your soul, but it's conditioning your mind whether or not to receive the promises of God. So it starts in the mind. We know that the serpent was the beast that Satan incarnated himself in to work on Eve's mind. So Satan worked on Eve's mind to condition her mind to receive a different word and then to bring it to conception. So what does God do? He speaks a word, and hundreds of years later, in the case of Mary, he sends Gabriel down to another woman who was a virgin. Eve was a virgin. Mary is a virgin. And what does Gabriel do? Does he try to scare Mary? Does he try to threaten her? Does he give her a word test? Does he say, this is how it's going to be, whether you want it or not? Whether you like it or not, you don't have a choice in this. No, he worked on her mind. He tells her, first of all, be not afraid. That's how you know it's the Lord. The Lord's not going to bring confusion. He's not going to strike fear in your heart. And he tells her, you know what? You're blessed. You're highly favored. People will criticize you for that. Well, you're calling yourself a bride. No, I'm not. He is. I'm just believing it. He said it and I believe it. Mary had to say, I believe this. You're blessed and highly favored. Imagine if she would have told her neighbor, her neighbor would have said, you, get over yourself. You 14-year-old little, who do you think you are? There's no way that could be you. But the angel said, you are blessed and highly favored. He was working on her mind. He tells her what's going to take place. He tells her that she's been chosen from amongst all the women for this glorious task to take place. Think about it, friends. The only woman in the entire existence of mankind that this is going to take place. Talk about blessed and highly favored. And she has questions. Just be honest. If you have questions, you have questions. But he doesn't blast her for asking the questions. He doesn't tell her, well, you know, you had your chance, time's up, I'm moving on. You know, you were blessed and highly favored, but you blew it. If predestination was built on that, it wouldn't be predestination. It'd be trial and error. It'd be flipping a coin. No, he works on conditioning her mind. She says, how can this thing be? Seeing I know not a man. He goes right to that. Says, well, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And you will conceive a child. You will be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. It's not going to come from a man. It's going to come from God. Fear not, Mary. And I'll tell you another thing. And this will help your faith. And it'll help your faith to remain strong. You know your cousin Elizabeth, who's an old woman, who's barren? She's always been barren. But she's really barren. Well, did you know she's already 6 months pregnant? You know that she was barren. But with God, nothing is impossible. So he's even pointing her to where this has already taken place. Conception, where it seemed impossible. So Mary considered these things. Knowing that the word was promised, a virgin shall conceive. She'd been discussing it with Joseph. The season, the time had come. The Holy Spirit was following that word around, and it was time to quicken that word. It was time to bring that word to pass. It was time for that word to find its resting place in a womb here on the earth. So she pondered over these things, And then she simply said, she accepted it, and she simply said, be it unto me according to thy word. And then the word did what the word said it would do. It wasn't her job to bring it to pass. It wasn't her job, it was her job to believe it. And then to feed that thing that was within her as it grew and as it developed. So, what say you this morning, friends? What say you? I will be a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. She is word of my word, he says. She is bone of my bone, he says. She will bring forth the very image in a many-membered body. Is that you this morning? He says, I am her head, and she will take on my mind, and she will give me preeminence in her life. I'll give the orders, she'll carry them out. She will have my character. She will have my word. She will have my mind. She will know what I want done with my word. She will have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll stay silent. She will discern the two spirits that are in the framework of the church, and she will withstand that Antichrist spirit. And Satan will be absolutely thwarted. He'll be powerless before her. She will zealously repent. And I will clothe her in white raiment, pure and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. I will come back for her so that where I am, she may be also. I promised her that. I have given her my word, and she's taking me at my word. And she is only believing what I have told her. Is that you this morning, friends? Stand to your feet. Has that process began in you? If it hasn't, it can begin this morning. It can begin by you just saying, Lord, I'm sorry for whatever I've ever been. I've been a failure. I've been a mess. But Lord, I want these things to take place in my life. I want to be that one. I want you to be glorified in my life. I want your image to be on display. I want people to see Jesus in my life. I want to be able to draw people to you because of the life they see living in me. I want people in this crazy, messed up, insane age to see how stable I am. To see that rest that's in my heart. To see that peace, that blessed assurance. I want people to see how I am firmly planted and rooted. But I'm not rooted in the things of this life, but I'm planted in Him. I'm planted in the Word. I'm planted in Christ Jesus. I want them to see that I believe His Word. I want them to be able to come when they have a need and have confidence that we can take it before the Lord and see results. Whether it's healing or deliverance or salvation or whatever it might be. I want them to see a living God in my life. I lived for the devil, but now I want to live for you. Oh, friends. If that process has begun in you, the one that started it will complete it. Amen. You say, well, hurry up. Faith with patience will bring forth the promise. It's not in your time. It's in, well, I think, well, quit thinking. You ever heard the saying, a watch pot never boils? I worked in a restaurant for 10 years. I've looked at a lot of pots. Thought, you know, I'm staring at them and thinking, maybe my eyes can be laser beams and heat that thing up. Is that thing ever going to boil? I've looked down. Is the burner on? Right? It's going to boil when it's going to boil. Right? And you can doubt and you can wonder. You can say, well, I don't think this thing's ever going to boil. It'll boil. Just wait. Be sorry what you asked for. If it's a big pot, it'll boil. And if you're not there, it'll boil over. It'll happen. What he started, he will finish. And every time you pull that lid off to see if it's boiling, you're letting some of that pressure escape. You're letting some of that steam escape. And it's just going to take a little bit longer now. It will boil, though. The one that gave us this promise is the one that's going to keep it. But we've got to receive it in a believing heart. Now, I believe the heart is believing if you're born again of the Spirit of God. But it's got to come through a believing mind before it gets to a believing heart. Every obstacle has to be removed. Yes. set aside. Our minds have to be washed by the water of the Word. Our thinking must be washed. Our minds must be reprogrammed so that we're not thinking our thoughts, we're thinking His thoughts. But friends, the process has already begun. Some of us, we might have a short span on this earth. And the seed of God is down in us and that process has started. We can have confidence that if that seed of God is down in you and you only have a short stay here on the earth, you will come to maturity. Some of us will be 103 and He's still working on us. And the devil will say, well, there must be something wrong with you. No, you're just maturing at a different stage, a different level. Maybe there's more to mature in one person than another. Who knows? It's a process. One thing that we know for sure, all the sunlight that it's going to take to bring a plant to maturity, that plant will receive it in time. Right? Now, what if you said, okay, it's 1,000 lumens a day and it needs 30 days of that or 60, let's say 90 days of 1,000 lumens. So that's 90,000 lumens. So today I'm just going to put 90,000 lumens on it. You'll kill it. You'll burn it up. You think you could receive 90,000 lumens of revelation in one service and not blow up? You barely can handle 1,000 lumens. You run out of the building about to blow up over one revelation. You can hardly contain it. You got to go tell somebody. You just can't wait to tell somebody. You're just bubbling and something's just bubbling up in you. And you know that something took place. And you feel renewed and revived and stimulated and stirred. But that's one step of many. Amen. So it'll be from glory to glory, revelation after revelation, change after change after change. Amen. And one day you'll say, you know what? I'm no longer going to say I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I want to be. One day you'll say, I am what He wants me to be. Amen. By His grace. Look at John. Let's use John as an example. I'm pulling over, but look at John. He was on the Isle of Patmos with all these prisoners and scorpions and serpents and whatever, right? He comes off that island. He's the only one that isn't crucified or killed, put to death, out of all the apostles. He's in his 90s, and he comes back to Ephesus, and he says, you know what? I know I'm going to pass on here real soon, so let me tell you something that really matters. Beloved, let us love one another. Amen. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8, right? Well, he didn't say that when he said, Lord, these guys over here, they're casting out devils in your name, and they're doing, should we call fire down on them? Should we blow them up? And the Lord said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Later on, he speaks to Peter and he says, don't think that you're any better. I know you're in a competition with him. And I know that John is a little more humble than you because he says, the disciple whom the Lord loved. And Peter was trying to be that disciple, right? The Lord turned to Peter and said, when you're converted, strengthen the brother. You're not even converted yet, Peter. Everything that you do to me is sin. You're trying to keep me from going to the cross. That's Antichrist. Satan is speaking through you. How'd you like the pastor to tell you that? But I prayed for you, Peter. After you're converted, strengthen the brethren. And we see a growth taking place in his life too. Then we hear his ending sermon. He was so inspired by what took place in Matthew 16 and Matthew 17. so inspired by that. And here he comes to the end of his walk. And he comes right back to that again. Add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, temperance, all of this. If these things be in you and abound, they will make you. They will make you. That you will no longer be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You will bear that fruit. They will make you. These divine characteristics must grow in us and mature. They're in you with the new birth. But they've got to grow and mature. And that's a process. And it's painful. And it takes time. But it gets gooder and gooder. Is that right? The longer you live, the more of Him that you see in your life. And the less of you. Look at them. Look at them at the end of their journey. They're not what they started out to be, friends. We can't compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus in terms of the amount of manifestation or the time of it. He was born with that nature, with those virtues, and He had it without measure. Right? You and I, we were born with a. We were the negative. We were born with a fallen nature. But then there's another nature in there waiting to be quickened. Brother Brown said, you receive that light like a size of a button. And it quickens you. And you start to grow. But you've got to grow and mature. As Paul said, grow up into the head. Coming to the maturity of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till Christ be fully formed within you. Is He being formed in us, friends? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that that would become such a reality to each and every one. Lord, as we've been going into this series, Lord, and perhaps one more installment of it here tonight, Lord, may it just be so real to each and every one of us. Not because the pastor said it, not even because Brother Branham said it, but because it's already declared in Your Word. But Your prophet came to point us back to that and to restore to us the hidden revelation that had been lost along the way, the revealing of it. And then, Lord, as Your servants are under their prophet or bringing the same word that's been brought under our messenger, that's been brought to this age, and reminding each and every one of Your great, divine, precious, as Peter put it, Your exceeding great and precious promises. Father, as we look at these things, it is overwhelming. But that's because we're trying to compare natural with supernatural. It looks unattainable. It looks impossible. And surely it is, Lord, if we try to do it by our own ability. And every one of us will try that until we finally die out and say, Lord, I give up. And we might even be feeling bad. We might even be feeling guilty and thinking that You're going to want to kick us to the curb because we admit that we can't do it. But then it's at that time that you say, finally, you've come to that point where you realize that you can't do it now. Let Me do it. You promised, Lord, by making us partakers of that divine nature, by quickening that seed that's down on the inside, by feeding us that living word, the word that's been given to us in this age. There's life in it. As we feed on it, we grow. There's no way that we can't grow. But if we don't feed on it, the opposite is true. It'll stun our growth. And Lord, I believe that if there's a predestinated seed, it's going to come forth. But I'm sure that it's possible, Lord, that some will maybe go through a period of time where they fail to feed upon the Word and not much growth will take place. It'll delay some growth. We know that in the end, Lord, that growth will take place and there'll come a season when they're come to their senses and yield to that appetite that's within them to feed upon your word. For truly, Lord, if we're born of you, if that seed, if that germ is down on the inside, our desire will be for your word above our daily bread. Revelation will mean more to us than anything. Not because we decided to have that desire, not because we manufactured it, but because of what's in us. It'll cry out for that. What's growing in us will only feed on that. Science won't feed it. As good as it might be, theology certainly won't feed it. Psychology won't feed it. The only thing that'll feed it is your unfailing words of promise. And we're so thankful this morning, Lord, that that word has been thoroughly vindicated. In fact, Lord, you've placed people here in this hour to believe for something that has only taken place a couple of times with a couple of individuals throughout time. But now it's going to take place in an entire group where they won't taste death, but they'll be changed. In fact, those that were translated, they weren't even changed. But those living here will be changed along with them in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's the greatest supernatural display taken out of Satan's grasp. We go up, he comes down. A thorough vindication of the power of this blood and the thorough and complete work of redemption. The end of redemption, that work. And that this bride will be without spot or wrinkle or blemish. So, surely, because of such a great thing that's going to take place in this day, there needs to be more faith. There needs to be not just a partial word, there needs to be the fullness of the word. A partial word won't do it. We've been given much. Much will be required. So, Lord, if we've lowered our guard, if we've allowed the cares of this life to derail us, get us sidetracked, if we've got discouraged or depressed, if we've been under wrong influences, going through a phase, and we've allowed our minds to be distracted from feeding upon those unfailing words of promise, Lord, may we be refocused. Father, if we're sitting here this morning having thoughts of, well, I used to rejoice, and I used to shout, and I used to be so stimulated, but I don't have that anymore. Father, without a shadow of a doubt, we know that can be restored. All we have to do is just come to you, Lord. Repent of anything that we need to repent of. Just pick up where we left off and say, Lord, I need you this morning. Lord, do for me what you've once done before, because I don't want my testimony to ever be a rear view mirror testimony. I don't want it to be, those were the days. I want to be able to say the best day of my life is today. And tomorrow I want to have that same testimony. Tomorrow I want to say the best day of my life is today. Not today, yesterday, but today, tomorrow. Father, I believe that that's your desire. I believe that's your process. I believe that's how it works. So, Lord, wherever we at, may we our minds be reconditioned this morning, Lord. If our minds need to be reconditioned to scoot over on the bench seat and get next to you, Lord, may it be so. Lord, to quit looking in the rearview mirror, to quit looking at circumstances in life, that'll certainly discourage us if we do that, but look at your unfailing words of promise. Instead of, as our Lord Jesus himself, as he was going to the cross, that there was plenty of opportunities for him to look at the circumstances. He could look at how his disciples abandoned him. He could look at how the leadership of the church called him a devil. He could look at how the very people that he was sent to rejected him. He was a rejected king, a rejected savior, a rejected kinsman redeemer. They were blinded. He could look at how unjust the Roman system was, how unjust it was for those that brought him before the Romans and lied about him and couldn't even agree on
what it was that he was being charged with. He could have looked at any of that. He could look at the fact that he who knew no sin was going to take on the sin of the world. So many things that he could have looked at. He could have looked at how they pulled on his beard, how they stripped him naked, how they beat him to where he was, he couldn't even recognize that he was a man, let alone the Lord Jesus. He could look at how he was being put to an open shame. He could look at how the angels of heaven just stood by, how the sun turned its back, the moon, the stars, all nature turned its back. But he didn't. He looked past that for the joy. He endured the shame and the grief. There was no joy of what he was going through, but the joy was what he saw on the other side of that. Lord, may that be where our focus is this morning. Each and every one of us, may we keep our eyes on the goal. May we recognize that, okay, I'm not what I want to be. I'm sure not what I used to be. But one day I'm going to be what you said that I'm going to be. Not just in part, but in whole. May we keep our eyes on that. That's the happy ending, Lord. That's your thoughts that you're thinking concerning us. Good thoughts, thoughts of peace. And not evil, to give us an expected end. May that be where our eyes are pointed, Lord. May our minds be conditioned, Lord, to receive your word from day to day. We know this world is crazy, that it's becoming more insane, where we can't even agree on whether someone's a human being or whether they're a male or a female or what their purpose is, even if they are a male or female. What the purpose of the church is. It's insanity, Lord, but it starts in the mind. May we take on your mind, Lord, for your mind is the only sane thing that there is. I pray that your blessings be upon each one this morning, Lord. Move upon each and every heart. May each and every one of us reach out a little bit more, Lord, and say, be it unto me, Lord. I trust you. I believe you, Lord. In spite of anything that I see, I believe you, Lord. And I'm proud, Lord, to stand upon your unfailing words of promise. Bless each and every one, Lord, as we commit each one into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. It's the love of God shown to the world. Yes, from glory to glory, he's changing me. Yes, he's changing me. Oh, he's changing me. His likeness and image to perfect him. It's the love of God.